they have to be in the way that they are meant to be. You can't say that, why can't you have the socks this way or this way? Because your foot is like that. That's why the socks have to be manufactured like that. So it struck me, oh, what you were saying was right. That he has to be in a male human form. So that's another thing. But that's not our story. What I was saying, what's happening behind the stage. So it used to irritate us like that, when he used to tell us all the time. So when Baba passed away from our midst, then of course the barriers were gradually crumbling. And we had more of money and more of Rana and more of color and more of this woman and that woman. So one day, soon after having come back from Mehrabad, and we were seated together here. So I was trying to tell them what we had gathered from Baba, and they were trying to tell us what we were. So all of a sudden it struck me. Time and again he used to tell us. So I asked Mani in the meeting there. So he used to tell us all the time that if we were to love him as you all love him, what sort of love do I have? He was pleased with your love and he didn't recognize our love for him. What sort of that love is that? So to her surprise and to our surprise, he says, he said that to you all? So I said, yeah.
He said, yes.
So I said, what? He says, he used to tell us the same thing.
Just like you.
It's just like you. So we don't know what happened behind the stage. So that's how it is. So I am not expected to know anything and everything. And another very glaring example, which gave me a slap one day recently, I felt that just as you all expressed that, well, you should know, because you were with him all the time. And I was so sure that I knew everything that transpired in his presence. I had my eyes, I had my ears, I was permitted to be close to him, there's no doubt about it and all that. And I, well, it was confirmed that I must know that I was present. So what happened one day? Recently it happened at the time of the emergency that we had in India. You know the emergency period? It all started with, you know, the office girls, you know, they wouldn't want to function properly, pen down strike and that strike and this strike and all that sort of thing. Go slow strike and all that sort of thing was there. So that period, before the emergency was to be clamped, they had started this movement. So the emergency was clamped because of all this nonsense that was being going on. How can the government run unless and until there must be an enforced thing? So therefore emergency got into the picture. But before emergency got into the picture, what happened was these office boys were sitting in canteen, you know, Godu's canteen. There are offices around this, income tax offices there, life assurance offices there, and other offices are there, telegraph office, telephone office, and all that. So they were all assembled. We had our head clerk here from the Altamaba Trust office. So he had gone for a cigarette, to smoke cigarette. He doesn't smoke in presence of money or in premises. He has respect for us all. So he goes out, holds a cigarette there, hides it in a wallet, and goes out and smoke. While he was smoking, he was anxious to come back on board at the desk. So these people who were loitering there and having their cup of tea and all that stuff, you know, they were in that mood, held with the work. So they see a person who is totally against that principle. He is hurrying through the smoke. So one person from the table there outside remarks, says, hey, what are you? You are to go and work or something? He says, yeah, I work here, just opposite here. Says, what is it? What work do you do? I'm the head clerk over there. So which office you go? He says, Altamaya Baba office. Hello, Zanda. Jai Baba. So what? He says, you there, you are work, you're still working? He says, yeah. Oh, he says, hearing this conversation, there was another table. He says, I have seen Mehrabad, somebody said. And the other one said, well, my mother has been benefited by Mehrabad, special. So he was interested in those people. So he turned to them and said, oh, that's wonderful to hear that. I have been working in the trust office, Altamaba Trust office, And I didn't have the opportunity. Come, Baba's mate, Baba's sister is the chairman of our office. Come inside and she'll be happy to see you, receive you. And Mani was so busy at that time, and he brought those two people there. Because they were loitering, they had nothing to do, you see. So they came in. And of course, Mani was gracious enough to receive them and make them sick and all, because of the old man, the head clerk. And Mani was very pleased to hear that they had seen Baba, one of them had seen Baba at the darshan in Wadia Park, the film we saw the other day, where Baba is sitting on the car and has to do it. So, and the other one said that, I haven't seen Baba, but my mother tells me about having met Baba and having received prasad from his hands. And Mani was very interested, says, yeah. And when did she happen to receive prasad? Says, in this very compound where we are seated now. Says, yeah, really? What happened? So there was a program in at the trust office. There was one program. We have a picture there, Baba playing with a child and kissing the child. Ben Hinn is seated and others are there. So Mani says, oh, at that time, what happened? Where is it? My mother is still living and remembers that day. And what the story was this. And I'm just standing there and listening, and I don't relish such things at office hours, you see. But still, what can you do? The chairman is busy. I can't be rude enough for all these things. So I just waited patiently when she'll get over all this sort of thing, and did finish the story. So now Mani is inciting that person to tell the story. So you know how my mood.
Yeah.
It was simmering, now it's coming towards the boiling point. So what happened is this, that he tells the story. And what the story is that, you know, I own a very big shoe shop nowadays in the market here in Ahmednagar. Mani is very interested, yeah, very good, very happy. He says, it's all because of Meher Baba's prasad. Mani says, yeah. What's the story? He says, my mother had to, she was very miserable, had to pass very difficult days in her youth when she was married, and she got married to an alcoholic. Even now my father is still alive, and you will find him somewhere near the gutters, because he has not gotten over the habit, and he drinks a lot, and he is a good person, he earns, but no sooner he gets money in his hand, it's all finished the same day, same evening, same afternoon, or the end of the month, whatever it be. So we didn't have anything, so my mother had to do hard labor. She would go from house to house, cleaning utensils and sweeping floors and this and that, and red and stuff. So we were a total beggar, you know, call it. He is confessing all this to Mani. And we depended upon the goodness of the neighbors. Time and again, the neighbors would take pity on this family and give us rice and give us dal and give us cooking oil or something, or send food and so forth. So we were brought upon these things, charity from neighbors. So year after year, neighbors were good enough to do that. One day, one of the neighbors had read in the paper that Meher Baba is giving darshan very close to this place, that is in this office here. So they tell, when my mother goes there to sweep the floors there, to clean the house, says, why don't you go there and have darshan of Meher Baba? Says, why should I do that? Then I will lose the days, labor. I'll be absenting and I'll lose money. All I need is money. I need help. And if I were to go and be there for his darshan, he says, you have no idea. Blessings from such a great one can even transform your whole life. Why don't you go there? What's wrong in that? So she says, I can't afford to do that. I can't afford to waste time. I have to attend the meeting, otherwise you will absent me and you won't pay me for this thing. So then, of course, she goes to another house. Again, the same class. People are urging her to go. Third house. Because so many people are telling, I must go. So now he's telling the story to Mani. And he goes on telling, he says, at last my mother has decided to go for darshan. So when the day has come, And naturally, she wanted to finish up some other work. She got to go, and she said, "Well, at about 10 o'clock, at 11 o'clock, I can go." She never knew what would be the position at the time. So what did she find? When she was ready to go, she's coming over here to the address, and what she finds, there is a line of people standing as far as the State Bank, which is now, you see, with the crossroads that are there. People are standing and asking, "What's the matter? Why are you all senseless?" My brother's darshan. "Oh God," she says, "what do you know?" She can't. She has made up her mind to go for darshan, and seeing such a long queue, she has no heart to return now. She is disappointed. How long is she going to stand like this? So she joins the queue and stands there, wondering what's going to happen. And then now the people extol how my Baba is and who he is and this and that. That gives her comfort. But will he bless me? What is it? Gradually, after 3-4 hours, her turn comes as she's standing near the gate. Baba is near the office, just opposite, outside the gate. So she comes gradually, closer to the gate. What she notices is that in a moment the people are shoved aside. All that he gives, some people bring fruits and flowers, somebody accepts this, and Baba gives something, banana or some packet of sweets that they have brought, he returns them, or something, or a tray, or something. And she's wondering, all the time she's looking at Baba and she's wondering, she needs help. Will he bless me? Will he help me out of the situation? What's happening? All that. She comes closer and closer and closer and closer. And she bows down and she looks pleading towards him, and Baba pats her and gives her a banana. So instead of saying that, the man says, and Baba gave the prasad to her, and she took the prasad, and she was being pushed aside. You know how it is done in the pictures, you see that. So she goes, and the crowd is pressing there, and she has no opportunity. She goes out of the gate, and to her utter amazement, when she opened her, she saw a bag of 100 rupee note. It was 1,000 rupees she had received. Just then, I all the time, you know, was listening, waiting, but I said, "That's not the thing," because I was on the spot. You know, how I'm supposed to know everything, you know. Viraj is supposed to know everything. So Viraj has to punctuate himself there and say, "No, that's not right. You must have visited some other Baba. It's not like my Baba." He says, "What? You mean to say that I'm telling lies? Would you want me to bring my mother?" "No, there's an altercation between myself and this man, you see." And Mani said, "But no, no, just wait, Viraj, please keep quiet." I said, "But this is not possible. How can I do that?" He's thinking of somebody else. You see, Baba never gave money and all that. So he says, "You want the truth? No, I'll get my mother. It is because of that that we are what we are now." Those were the years, you see, when 1,000 rupees meant something more. And that's how we go down, and it's his blessings too, that it comes and all that. And I own a shoe shop. Altercations take place. The man at last goes away, the headache goes out. And I said to him, and he said, "Why did you do that?" He said, "But we accept this fact that he gave money. He never gave money. He used to be banana. He used to be that. You know that." And I told him that Baba never handled money or anything, unless he did a program for the poor or for the lepers or for the monks. He never, I know it because I am there. I'm always there. I see everything. I through my hands it passes by and all that. After they left, all of a sudden it struck me, "You fool, how do you presume that you know everything? Who are you to be so presumptuous to say that you are on the spot? Why not? You have seen the banana going, passing through his hands. What is there for him to make that banana about 100 rupee notes, you see? When she goes out and it's there. Because she craves for that, she gets that. Who are you?" So what happens behind the stage, nobody knows. All that you see on the surface, you can see it and you experience it. But much more happens behind the scenes. The enactment is put there for 3/4 of an hour. But to get that enactment, to get that drama state that for 2 hours or three quarters of an hour, it needs preparation. Many things are happening there behind the stage for that particular show. That's how it works. So whatever, even for you all, you kids, you were with Baba, you played on his laps, I know it. But never be presumptuous. But the man taught me a lesson. Never to be presumptuous to know and think that you know everything, that you live between and you are there. Who knows what he has in store? Is it a good story? I had in mind today, you know, my brother is here. You know, my brother is my one. So, well, it was in 1969 that Melvin got himself caught up. There was a great question there at the time, that Guru Prasad, people had come and all that. So Melvin was one of the volunteers working briskly here and there, busy and all that, and sometimes he'd sit there and all that sort of thing. So one day he was caught in the congregation. And when he was caught, they forced him to give a speech, say something about my father. You were, you played on his lap. You were there as a kid. And what is it? Tell us, and tell us, and tell us. Tell us something about my father. And he is a shy person, he doesn't want to speak. Words are too heavy, you see, to get out of his system. No, you must be the man. They forced him to the world. And you know what he told them? You want to hear what he told them? Go and get that book on my shelf now. You know, shelf book. It's a black book. It's the solitary book kept on the shelf. It's a black book. Black color. So, when he gave out that, how I wish, it's good that it has been printed. It was the only speech he made that day. Since then he has never spoken. And it has put an end to all speeches of all people of all times in the world. It's a thing, yeah. And so it's pin drop silence after he spoke. Nobody spoke anything. These people are deep. I am very shallow. I give out words, I speak words, and all, but they never speak. And if at all they are forced to speak, it's terrible. So would you like to hear the humor of the birds behind the world and all? So, this is just a short speech that we have made, such a short thing, and yet it is so forceful. Will you read this? Are you in a mood to read it? Today is your anniversary. You may not be in a mood for some hours. Who is that? Sherry. Sherry? Oh, I see. Happy anniversary.
I don't know.
Okay, sir.
Make the beloved our constant companion. Beloved Baba and my dear brothers and sisters in Baba, I have been called upon, or rather forced, to address a few words to you. Before I proceed any further, allow me to state that the art of speech making is very foreign to my constitution. Leave alone making speeches, even hearing lengthy ones, is to me a torture. But perforce I must at times endure. As such, I have never indulged in this cruel art of inflicting the pain of making people listen to words which are nothing but the expression of ignorance.
Oh my God!
Well, howsoever much I dislike it, I will not disappoint you to have come prepared specially to take some punishment. Though I assure you it will be an amateur performance. am a man of few words, and what I believe in is action. Action involves effort. One has to make an effort to breathe, an effort to eat, an effort to drink, an effort to provide the means of food and drink, and in these days, attention and effort even to go to sleep. However, I feel all these efforts will not be worth their while if one fails to make the effort of efforts, the supreme effort of making beloved Baba our constant companion in our day-to-day effort of living and providing the means of livelihood. What would otherwise be a humdrum and almost animal existence would at once be transformed into the life full of meaning and joy. The drudgery which one dreads, and to which there is no end in our life on earth, can become the very means to hold on to the Dhamma, the beloved, whom we strive to make our constant companion. For drudgery offers us the time and scope to indulge in the luxury of the beloved's mental companionship. This constant effort wears off our ego, and as a consequence, humility and love find scope for expression. If we give free expression to this newfound humility and love, we begin to live the very message of our beloved Avatar. Our very life then can create a tremendous impact on the lives of others. May beloved Baba, the compassionate one, bless us in our efforts in this direction, to thus spread his message of love and truth, of truthful living, and help us to dispense with the boredom of words spoken to and thrust upon us, tried and unwilling ears in this age of noise.
What's up?
The Silent One gave his love to humanity in silence.
Oh, wow.
And it behooves us to love him, to spare no effort in molding our lives so that we may become capable of absorbing this love and reflecting it in our own lives. If, however, words must be made use of, then let us make use of them to recount to others our association with the beloved and various interesting incidents connected with Baba, so that we keep company with beloved Baba even in our words. For to a lover, the greatest joy is ever to be in the beloved's presence. And as Hafiz says, the best way to be in the constant company of the beloved is never to absent yourself from him in thought, word, and deed. Jai Baba.
Jai Baba. So that's
what a good speech.
Well, that was a speech. No one is a stamp that's printed in your under your knee. This was a monthly magazine that used to come at that time. So it's a compilation of those issues from 1968 to 69,
June 69.
Yes, January, June, July, June, 1 year. '69 was a great period, you see, at the time when people from all parts of the world had come. Every day would be a great day. You may not call it fun, but it was really something great. The impact of his presence was there, felt at the time. And very, very close to him. Did you come here in 69?
Not physically.
What do you mean, not physically?
Because my brother told me about it, but I don't know what it was like.
Your brother did. Your brother came.
Yeah, he didn't. Came
because of Brian, that friend came. And Brian didn't come. You didn't come.
He didn't have a sense of that. How he
could have. He could have pawned you. He didn't come.
What?
He could have pawned you. No, but it was good. Very, very good. Those who came. Indelible memories of it, of those days. You came to me. Brian, you came?
I came 9 months later, 1970.
You didn't come now, Valerie. No. You have not heard about it then? When did you hear this year?
Seven years, 76.
Yeah. Doesn't matter. There have been many more since 69. 2069 is there. Where, what were you doing? Busy?
I wasn't in touch with Bhagavad Gita. I knew about Bhagavad Gita.
Said that by the time he comes, they are either realized or liberated, the circle members.
You mean the past circle is realized or liberated by the
So
time.
Peter and John have no scope to come back, but the offices of them are filled with similar duties. They function in the similar fashion. As they had functioned at the time, each time, just as a hand has to function the way the hand functions, the eyes function. It has different hands, different body, different eyes, but the same eye is same eye, same function. So he had said that, but that doesn't mean that Peter comes again or John comes again. It's part. About the circle. If a certain entity is in the circle,
when Val was talking last week, he seemed to indicate that the circle, the all 120 persons. There was some indication when Val Calturi was talking last week, he told them something that all 120 members of the circle would gain liberation.
So that's what I'm saying. So if Margaret is in the circle, then she has no chance to come back. If she is not,
she may not.
I'm not in the circle, so I have a great good opportunity to be back.
I think it's already for Adi's telling a story about himself, and Baba asked, Baba knew that Adi was thinking something, and so he asked, what are you thinking? And Adi was thinking about God realization or something, and he said, ah, it's not so easy for one of mine to get that. And do you think I've done all this work with you to have you?
So those who have tasted life with him would never want to be thrown out of Dwarka. They would want to repeat their life with him again and again. If a misfortune, we are beset with it, then we are... it is a fact. Those who have tasted that life, they would want to... You know, pardon? Who? In the beginning, what had happened was that about the circle business, when I came to Baba first in 1938, means I began to live with him. So my duty was to be with him all day while he was down the hill. He was at Lower Meraba. In the evening, I had to take him up. He will be delivered to be washed. The moment that is there, I have to turn my back and come back. Then in the morning, I have to wait. As soon as he emerges from out of the gate there, I have to rush and get him back. And while he is coming there, all the time I have to be with him. Just be with him. If he tells me to do anything, I do it. Otherwise, I am just there. So, I just come that time. It was in August we had arrived. Baba had called the whole family, 1st August 1938. So this must be so about November, beginning November. So one evening, I'm Baba's time is to go up the hill now for rest, late afternoon as well. We call it evening. So sunset time, Baba is up, going up. I'm with him. He stops halfway and turns to me, how are you, all right? I said, you need properly, but get good sleep. I said, yes, Father, everything's fine. Then he says, what is it? What do you do after this? When you go back, what will you do? He says, I just sit with the mandi that are there, he says, payments. And then what do you do? But I hear what they talk about. What do they talk about? I don't understand what they talk about. They talk something about four poles and I can't follow what they say. Well, I had never read Baba's literature or anything of the sort at that time. Nothing to do with all the sort. Circle? What circle? So I don't know. Don't you know what circle is? He said, yeah, I have learned geometry, trigonometry and all that, but this time, this is something quite different, Baba. I don't follow what they say. He said, so there's a circle and there's another circle and another circle and there are 10 circles and I don't know. And then, what else do you hear? They are arguing whether somebody is in that circle and somebody is not in that circle and all that stuff. Baba just nodded, So Baba then looked at me and says, you don't follow? I said, no. He said, good. For 2 years, listen, be there, hear what they say. Listen to this year, let it last year. It has nothing to do with you. That was the only thing that I know about the circles. No function. They have no function. That's the reason why they are known as appendages. They are the appendages to the body. Appendix like appendix. He described that later on. Of course, that article has been written by me that you see in the awakening. I know. with the diagram and all the sketches. So as told to me by Baba, but what he described was, that's why I was teasing her, because she holds a big degree in nursing.